tonight's topic is, so you want to be a writer. And I ask that as a question. Do you want to be a writer? Is there something in you that you know deep down that you have a call on your life, and yet you can't even verbalize it to some people, like your mother-in-law? or maybe this is something that you've had deep down, and yet you've not told anybody. Maybe even being here would shock your best friend. Might shock your husband. Well, I want to tell you tonight that yes, you can be a writer. Yes, you can. Writing today is so wide open. It's like I can't even verbalize what God is doing in the sphere of writing. Because you see, some of the hindrances that writers had even 10, 15, 20 years ago, I know because I've been writing now for over 15 years, some of the things that we had as hindrances even 10, 15 years ago are not a hindrance today. And I've kind of wondered on that in times where I've been talking to the Lord about what I do with my writing. And all I can do is just sit back and be in awe of what He's doing. Because you see, I believe that there are people here tonight that He's got a call for you. And if anything, I would love to encourage you to step up to that calling, because He has something that He's really needing for you to do. You. I mean, have you thought about it that way? Because when I look at my writing, many times people say, how did you write what you write? Well, I want to tell you, God just gets a hold of me and it happens. That's my biggest thing. And for those of you who may know what I'm saying here, do you know what I'm saying? It's hard for me to verbalize just what God has done with my pen. But it's amazing. It amazes me. I know Lucia really does know my heart on this, that there are times that I sit back and I go, wow. Because I'll look back and I'll read something and I will know that God is speaking more to me than He could ever speak to anybody that reads it. And yes, Melissa, you know what I'm saying. When He takes a pen, you know, people who question the inerrancy of the Word of God and it being an inspired book, they just have never written. I know about writing, and it amazes me what I see coming through the pages of the Word of God, because I know what God can do with even the Peters, even the Pauls out there, because He's done it with the Cindy here. So today, I want to let you know that God is issuing a call. Now, I'm not speaking for Him. I think you already knew that. I don't really believe it's by accident that any of you would happen upon this particular study, this particular seminar. I think you probably are not shocked that I'm going to say that I believe from the bottom of my heart that every one of you have a call. I have prayed so intensely for you going into this. And I know from the bottom of my heart that God has made a provision. You know, it is the least expensive business you could even go into if you want to talk shop on business. All you've got to have is a computer. And for me, even when I didn't have a computer, I'll tell you what I had to have. It was just a pen and a piece of paper and a willingness to surrender my life and my pen and what went into the piece of paper to God. The funniest thing is, before I even had a computer, I was writing magazine articles for magazines that just wanted my writing, and I told them I didn't even have a typewriter and didn't have a laptop or nothing, and they said, well, just write it out. Just write it out by hand. We'll type it in. I mean, I'm telling you, don't let anything hold you back from writing. If you need provision, I want to tell you that today God can provide. I mean, you're all on computers, and I actually believe you have everything right there before you right this second that could unleash God's work through your writing. See, the opportunities abound. The options abound. Do you know, today's writer need not ever have to worry about some of the things that have been a struggle for me through the years. I want to tell you personally, one of my greatest struggles through the years was shipping books, regular books. That's why I want to tell you, God did some amazing things to provide ebook technology and digital audio technology. Whenever He provided that, I knew He was doing that just because He saw me suffering with some things. You think I'm joking, but I believe from the bottom of my heart that the doors are wide open so that you don't even have to invest tons of money. You don't have to have tons of space today. The doors are wide open for you. Now, some of you may be sitting here and you have You know that heart call is there in you. And yet, can I tell you that today I want to just briefly go over some of the basic how-tos. All day tomorrow, I'm going to go deeper, and we're not ending this series unless I answer your questions. And so don't think, if you've got a question throughout the time, save it tomorrow afternoon. If you can't be here for tomorrow evening's final session, email it to me, drop it to me, and I will do my very, very best to record it and answer your question as thoroughly as I can. And if I don't get it all the way that way, we'll just have another seminar. So I just want for you to know, we're not leaving this series without you getting your help. And one of the things people ask me, what is your vision for this? I've been actually praying about the fullness of the vision, because I think God is birthing something with the writer's nook that goes beyond what I am personally aware of at this point, because he's just opening some doors for us to be able to do some amazing things. This has been, I mean, when I talk writing, I'm talking about my life. I mean, when I talk homeschooling, I'm talking about my life. And so it's going to be very interesting what God does, but we plan to begin a writer's podcast very soon, where I'm going to take questions and just deal with the questions, just like I do quiet times and other things. But it will be just for writers, just for Christian writers. And the other thing that we're going to do is we're going to set up a whole website blog that has like questions and answers, and I'm going to deal with those. Now, I know this, the one thing about this I want y'all to know up front is the ministry to writers is going to be a little more sporadic until I can get my pace down for this year, because I'm already a little overextended right now. And yet I know that this is God's timing and this is God's messages, and I want to walk alongside of you. So if you guys can help me to know what your questions are, to know how I can best minister to you, I'm in here for the long haul with you. I want to see you be a success. And personally, before I even get into the message of this tonight's lesson, I want for you to know that I want to see this year be the year that you go for God's dreams, that you step up to the call that he has for you, that this is that year that you say, okay, I'm going to do it. I will do it. And there's some of you, you know, really deep right now, because God's on you right now. And he's telling you, yeah, I'm making you a way. You thought this was just another online seminar, but no, this is a call to you. And so I just want for you to know that you don't have to go out there in this all alone. We're going to be walking hand in hand, step by step together. Now you may say, Cindy, okay, how do I do this? How do I become a writer? Well, I want for you to know a little bit of my backstory, because some of you would probably really enjoy this. You see, I grew up and I hated writing in school. Now, your children, those of you that homeschool, would love to know that. They would love to know that detail, especially since the funniest thing is that I've written so many books on helping children write. It's hilarious, because I hated it so much in school. They totally, totally overwhelmed me with the junk. I did not like anything about it. As a matter of fact, the one thing I hated the thought of homeschooling and teaching was language arts. Because the way that I was taught language arts did not seize me. It so didn't impress me. It so grieved me. It was not my favorite subject. Now, I did a lot of things that are shocking for a person that doesn't like writing, because I didn't like it. My teachers were hard on me. They were very difficult. And I noticed that they were pickier with me than they were on some of the other students that were in my class. It's like they picked on a few of us, and the rest of them, they just let them just turn in whatever. I was shocked. Well, come to find out through the years, if you look back and you were to look at from, I'm talking about young years, my first memories growing up, my mother, who was not a homeschool mom, who definitely was the send your kids to public school and trust them to teach them what you definitely don't know. She never knew she knew anything. She's an amazing chick. She did know a ton of things. She was the kind of person that actually taught me a lot about my philosophy of education with my children, because she and my dad both believed you could learn anything from a book and real people in real life. They believed that you could get hands-on and you could teach yourself so many things. I'm serious. That's why I get a lot of who I am from my parents. But my first memories of my childhood have two things. Me, I remember wishing for my husband one day. I wanted my knight in shining armor. I wanted my prince charming. And I love the memories of dreaming. Harold was so above and beyond what I ever dreamed. But he was exactly like I dreamed. I mean, awesome. And I did another thing growing up. I'll never forget sitting by my mother in church. And she, from the time, I don't even remember how small I must have been. I remember her expecting my sister. So, I mean, I was less than three, probably more, just barely over two. And I remember sitting by her in church and her teaching me my letters and making me copy them. And I had to copy and write every single Sunday in church. It's so funny. I am so addicted to that now. I'm so well trained up. I take major notes in church. People who go with me to church services or they go with me to conferences, they know I'm going to have a notebook full of stuff by the time I'm done because my mother so trained that into me. But you see, I didn't see that as part of what I would eventually become. No, rather, I went through school and I hated writing. Have I said that enough tonight? I hated it. I hated the way they did things. It didn't make sense to me. You know, we would diagram sentences, and I was thinking, just let me write. I would like to just write. And it was so funny whenever I look back, the things that were so unpleasant. I mean, even down to, I had this one teacher, I could not stand her. She made me be the editor of the paper in junior high. Made me. I'm talking about, it was like, you have to. I was assigned to be the editor of the paper. Well, I couldn't stand that because she was the teacher I least liked. I would almost go to the point of saying, I didn't like her at all. I mean, she really was on my list. And I had to not only be in her class, but she made me be the editor of the paper, school paper, and she was in charge of that. So even in my after school time, I was stuck with this crazy woman. She taught me so much. I look back, and it's kind of hilarious how much I copy and paste, and how much I mean, when I began my first magazine, I could almost feel her over me, if that means anything to any of you. It was one of those things that I just truly, truly struggled with, was dealing with her. And I was also graded on the fact that everybody, if I let anything go through the school newspaper that was not right as an editor, I was graded down on that. I did not volunteer for the job. I did not want the job. I didn't want to work with this woman. And I had to. Well, imagine how excited I was when I got to go on to high school. I was excited because I was not ever going to have Miss Smith as a teacher again. Yep, you guessed it. Until I got into high school. She was my teacher again. And you want a good giggle? I had other teachers. As a matter of fact, I babysat for my English teacher in 10th grade. She was one of my best friends. She was the coolest. Now, if there was one person that almost salvaged writing for me in high school, it would have had to be Linda Williams. She totally salvaged it. I loved her. She was so sweet. Now, she was hard on me, and she demanded much from me in the classroom. But then when I would babysit her for her, she would say, I just love your writing. Oh, I love your writing. And she would give me things I didn't get in the classroom, ideas and tips, and I could see how she lived. And she wasn't like your typical English teacher. But anyway, I ended up getting Miss Smith again. Yes, you heard me. You heard me. I could not stand the woman. And she was so difficult for me. And then I was a senior in high school. I thought, this is it. Praise God. I have Sandra. The teacher I had in my senior year, her husband actually was a trooper, and my husband ended up being a trooper later. We were married several years before he actually became a trooper. But Sandra Summerall, her husband was a trooper, and she was the sweetest little teacher. But she was tough. And she was tougher on me than you would get from just everybody in the classroom. Again, all of them were like that. In fact, in high school, I did serve on the annual staff, and I did serve in the newspaper. I've learned some amazing things all throughout high school about writing. But I want to tell you, when I graduated, I planned to never, ever, ever write again. Well, except for college. And of course, the only reason I would write in college was so I could just take the classes because I was going to be a dental hygienist and have a BMW. For real. For real. That was my life's ambition, other than to have a godly home. Yeah, are you tickled yet? Oh, yeah. I went on to college and hated the teachers there, too. They were so hard and so weird. I did not have a good impression of teachers who taught language arts. I didn't have a good impression of language arts. So imagine the hilarity whenever I began writing. Actually, it was pretty accidental. I was in the local smocking guild. I did a lot of heirloom sewing and heirloom embroidery and smocking for my little girl's clothes. Pretty much everything she wore for the first 5-6 years of her life, everything was smocked, including her gowns. It was just me. I mean, I've always been neurotic about a few things, but I love smocking for my babies. And I became their secretary. I was supposed to send out a little postcard. That's what the last one did. But I was like, oh, it's just the same price. Not much more for me to go ahead and just drop a letter. And then as I did the little letter thing, I put tips in it. And the rest of it all evolved. Because, see, the tips I took were from Mama, my husband's grandmother. And this began the real story of real writing for me. You see what happened? I would put little tips like that. She had cute little ideas on sewing, and I mean, they were adorable. They were very helpful. You see, she would say, okay, if you want to sew a button on, rather than doing it all by hand and getting it off, having to rip it out and do it again, instead, find the little spot where it goes and tack that button, especially not the shank ones, they would never work this way, but tack it down with some glue stick, let that dry, and then do a simple stitch, a buttonhole stitch, a little zigzag on your sewing machine. And I mean, I may not be describing this very good right now, but anyway, I took her a little tip down. I remember her saying, oh, use fingernail polish, clear fingernail polish, and put it on the tip of your thread. Just dip your thread in that, and then when it dries, it'll be easy to stick through the needle in your sewing machine. She knew that because she had glaucoma and still sewed until the day she died. As a matter of fact, when I went to her house there for her funeral, her sewing machine light was still on. Her light did not go out, I'll tell you, by night. But the deal with her, she started getting, I started sending her the tips and the newsletter. And she loved it. She thought, wow, you make me sound smart. I said, no, Mama, you are smart. And I found myself constantly taking notes. Like we would just go over there for lunch. And she would just, because she was such a wellspring of knowledge, I took notes like I did at church being around Mama. I would jot down ideas. And I remember even ideas like that she, the kids and even all the other grandchildren always thought that she gave them Frosted Flakes and Corn Flakes because she was spoiling them. She would let them have that in between meals, which all the moms would go, oh, I can't believe that you're going to ruin their appetite. But she would let them have it. But see, I knew the story behind it. One day we were having a time that we were spending together, and of course Elizabeth and Matthew always craved cornflakes when they would go to Mama's house. And she said, oh, y'all need to go ahead and finish this up. She said, I'm almost at the bottom again. And we were kind of stunned. And she said, oh, Cindy, you know what I do. She said, they help me eat all this up. And she said, I get the big old jumbo boxes, the big boxes. And the grandkids help me eat it up. And then I use the plastic liner as pattern to draw my patterns on. So my patterns, when I draw them on there for my outfits and my, she made underwear and lingerie for people for extra money. She said, I'll draw my patterns on that and they never wear out. I was like, ding, great idea. Kids eat lots of cereal. But there were ideas like that constantly. And so I would sit down, I would write it up, and I thought, those are the perfect tips. These would make so many people filled to overflowing with ideas. It was constant like that from her. In fact, notebooking, that many of you have probably read my book on notebooking and maybe have even tried that with your children. The first notebook queen was Mama. She took me to a serger class and I saw her keeping all of her little notes right there in a notebook. And she totally inspired me on everything. That was just how she is. Funny, there's a 300-page book on notebooking now. I mean, that's the kind of ideas that she would fill me with, and I would just get to running over with a million brainstorms. She brought out something in me that was very hidden, that school had almost squelched out. And the most important thing she did was believe in me. And I want to tell you how she did this. And then I'm going to tell you why I'm telling you all this. Because, you see, I remember one day going to see her, as a matter of fact. I think we were actually organizing her fabric that day. And she told me, she said, "Cindy, I'm going to tell you, you need to go by the newspaper and tell them to put your tips, your sewing tips, in the newspaper." And I said, "Mama, they're not going to want to put my sewing tips in the newspaper. I'm not a writer. You don't understand. I'm not a writer. I just do the newsletter." And she said, "You go by there and you ask Jimmy Pippin if he'll put these tips in the newspaper." She said, "I keep giving out," and this kind of went over my head. I didn't know about this until later, but it made a difference in my whole life. But anyway, she said, "Go ask him." She said, "I keep giving out my newsletters to all my friends because they want to keep reading every one of them." She said, "Just go by there. It'd be better for them to read it in the newspaper. Everybody wants to read this." It was just kind of funny because you need somebody who would believe in you. And I want to tell you tonight, I believe in you. That's first. You better know I believe in you. I've seen what God can do with somebody who doesn't think that they can write a word, who hates writing from school. And it's hilarious. But anyway, let me get back on topic. The funny thing is, that day I have no explanation. I don't even write for my local paper here. But I ended up going by and asking Jimmy Pippin if he would be interested in me having a column. He said, "Let me see your work." He said, "Turn it back in." I turned in the first one. He said, "How many more can you do for me? How often can you do this?" I said, "Well, maybe once a week." I said, "I homeschool my kids," little knowing what he would do with me about homeschooling later. You see, I was very particular about the fact that I did not want everybody knowing about homeschooling. I didn't want anybody feeling pressured or feeling like I was pushing homeschooling down their throats. Instead, I just wanted just to live and survive it. You know what I'm saying? And so it was so funny. I began writing, and the letters coming in about the articles were just amazing. It became an instant hit. Everybody loved it. I guess it was because all the rest of the news in our hometown was pretty negative, and it was about the most positive thing you could ever in a million years find in that local small town newspaper. It was fun. They were so good to give me my first training wheels on writing, and I found myself falling deeper and deeper and more passionate about writing. It became a lot of who I was. In fact, the funniest thing, little did I know, some magazines took notice of my writing in the paper. And then it began to grow, and other people wanted to do reprints of my writing. And the funniest thing that came along was my editor. Somehow that homeschool thing had stuck with him. And he called me one day. He said, "Cindy, do you have some new articles?" He said, "Just bring them by anytime." He said, "But I want to know something else. What else do you know about?" I said, "Oh, Jimmy, I have no idea." I said, I have a bird and I homeschool my kids. I said, "All I do is my children and my husband and I sew." And I said, "This is pretty much the tip top of what I know and what I can write about." And he said, "Whoa, you homeschool." He said, "Write on that." He said, "I have people all the time that want to hear about homeschooling." He said, "That's kind of getting big." I said, "Oh, no, no, no. I will never write on homeschooling." And he said, "Why not?" I said, "Because." I said, "I go to church with people that would never understand that." I said, I really don't want a problem. I really don't want to do that." And he said, "Oh, yeah, you do." He said, "You got to make them understand." And I said, "No, I really cannot write on homeschooling." I said, "You don't understand." I said, "The people at my church already think I'm crazy." And he said, "You make them understand." He said, "That's your assignment." He said, "It's not a suggestion. It's not me asking." He said, "I'm assigning you to write. He said, write a series." He said, "I want a whole series, and you make me, you sell me on homeschooling." I was like, "No, the one thing I never wanted to write on was homeschooling." But I was sent home with an assignment, and I had to do what I had to do, or I would lose my job as a writer. And the funniest thing came along as I was writing for them on homeschooling. Actually, it was the first time I got a rebuttal, and really got criticized for my views. And I want to tell you about took me down. Satan knew what, I think Satan had only a glimmer of what God was going to do with homeschooling and the information I would write on homeschooling. It still blows me away, but he had to have known something because my first thing that I had was a rebuttal. And guess what? It was from my Sunday school teacher at my church. He was on the Goals 2000 committee, and I mean, he knew just enough about me, and his opinion of homeschooling was such as something around the lines of, this girl has obviously been in the backwoods a little too long, and it's marred her thinking. And then that's about all I remember of the rest of it. It was rough. I did collect that. It's somewhere in all my files of things, but that was the roughest in the world. And I learned how to be tougher with writing. I learned how to write and sell the world. And it didn't have to sell everybody. It could have a few little naysayers along the way. But the rest of it's all history. Well, almost. Except the last day that I saw Mama. Do you remember that first conversation about the newspaper? Well, little did I know that she had began doing something that all of you need to be doing for yourselves. And I didn't know this until this point. But she had begun collection of all of my articles. In fact, she kept all of my letters. She kept all of my recipe cards. She had a Cindy notebook where she kept everything about me, everything that I sent her. And she put it in little sheet protectors. For those of you that homeschool, you're going to know what I'm saying here. But the last day I talked to her was the day that we went back home to see her. And I had just had my first magazine article. And so I took her a copy of the magazine so she could keep it in her notebook. And we were standing and we were talking. She was so proud. She said, "Look at all this, Cindy." She said, "You're going to have to write a book." And I said, "Mama, I am not a writer." It just popped out. And she said, "Oh, Cindy, you are." She said, "You've got to write a book." And she said, you know, that was the last time we saw each other. She continued by encouraging and exhorting me to be the godly woman God had called me to be. But I'll never forget her confidence. She had not one doubt. I could see it in her face that I could write a book. That went deep within me. And many of you may have a story similar to this yourself. She believed in me when I didn't even believe in myself. And yes, I became a writer. Oh, how do you do it? Are you wondering too? Do you have that something in you that maybe your experiences have not always been positive? Maybe the biggest hindrance you have in your mind is, Cindy, I could write, but I'm so not, I mean, I did so bad in English in school and I never really liked English. I never liked writing. It was all really hard for me. I don't mind sharing my heart. Oh, this is for you tonight. I want to tell you, I'm going to take you by the hand, and I want to encourage you and give you some practical walking shoes to walk out there in. So you're wondering how you can write, how you can make money. Can you make money writing? Absolutely. Absolutely you can. Can you minister through writing? Absolutely. Absolutely. This is the workshop that I pray will open the doors wide open for you. And maybe God can help me push you on through them. Because I believe that, yes, you can be a writer. Now, let's talk about some quick tips to get you started. Now, I say quick and I'm sorry, it's not going to be too quick. I have too much to share, and it's only kicking off the whole weekend where I'm going to go much deeper. But I really want to give you some walk-in shoes. I really want to be able to address as much of this as I can. But so, let's dig in. The first tip is to step up to the call. I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow, but can I share with you a passage that has meant so much to me? Because I remember God giving it to me. And when he gave me this passage, I'm not going to go totally deep into this, but I want to show you some things. It's in the book of Exodus, and it's the story of Moses. Now, I'm not going to read it right now. Maybe many of you remember Moses. You remember his being born and there being a decree that all the boys would be murdered and thrown into the Nile River by the Pharaoh. Do you remember this? But yet his mother had something in her heart. She had this baby, and she was like, "This baby is so special. I can't do this." So, you know, the little baby Moses put in the little straw boat or whatever it was and floating down the Nile, and the Pharaoh's, sister finds him, and God preserves him. As a matter of fact, Moses grows up in the Pharaoh's house, and the neat thing is that he was nursed during those early years by his very own mother. Is that not sweet? how God gave that provision, that time for that mother to be able to be with him. And she trained him and loved him. And I believe some of his heart for God actually began back in those days where she was rocking and nursing that baby. But then as he grew up with an amazing education. Now, I'm not saying that his education was one that we would want for our children, because he actually grew up with an education that was exceptionally worldly. They were sun god worshipers, and so you can only imagine the false teaching that he dealt with, especially being a Hebrew himself. And the upbringing, we might would sit and wince a little bit at the upbringing that he had. However, when we look at his particular calling later on, we find that he had the perfect preparation for who he was going to be. Now, I've just shared with you just a little bit of my perfect preparation. I believe every bit of it was absolutely perfect. There is not one step, when I look back at my life, there was not one step that I took that God did not have total lordship over, that he didn't have a great plan. You see, he had a plan to bring me to the point where I knew that I knew that I knew that this was who I was. He had perfect preparation. And you see, I believe he's done the same thing for you today. I believe that he has got perfect preparation. There's no accident about who your teachers were growing up. I hate to say it. And by the way, did I ever tell y'all the end to that the teacher story? Do you know that I ended up marrying her cousin? Now, will everybody gasp with me? Gasp. Yes, I married one of her cousins. I couldn't get rid of her. But you know what's funny? Is that whenever we come down, and I guess I had written about 30 books at the time, and Harold's mother was talking to Miss Smith, or Linda Smith now that I'm grown, but anyway, she was talking to Linda, and it sounds funny to even say that now, but I do call her that because she asked me to, but she told her what I was doing, that I was a writer, and she said, I always knew. I was thinking, why didn't she tell me? Because if she would have just told me what she saw in me, I would have been a little less frustrated with her. I think it would have been a little easier to know, hey, she thinks I'm going to be good at this. It probably would have changed a lot. But of course, I know it was called public school, and I know that she had her limitations. But isn't that not funny? But you know what? Even Miss Smith was God's plan. And it just tickles me that the one teacher I really felt like I could never please thought it all along. She thought it all along. You see, I believe that just like Moses, we've got perfect preparation. And we deep down, I believe you know your calling. Step up to that call. Another thing I noticed about Moses was there was a point, and you know the story. Moses, he murders the one of the slaves that, or, I'm sorry, one of the guards that was beating up and hurting a slave. He murders the guy, buries him in the sand. That's real effective. And then he runs to the backside of the desert. And I don't know how many of you have ever thought that you could get away from God by running to the other side of the desert from him. But to me, the funniest thing is how Moses runs and thinks he's got away from him. And then all of a sudden, you see this bush burning in the desert and not burning up. And you hear the voice of God. Oh, yeah. I don't know if there's anything that's been burning on you that can't be quenched. I don't know if you've ever come to a point where you maybe have, you've known that you've got a call, and you've sat there thinking that you're thinking something that maybe could not be right. How could God have a calling for you? But today I want for you to look at that heart thing, that thing that burns on you. You know what was burning in Moses' heart? It was that feeling he had for those Israelites. He wanted them to have freedom. He wanted for them to be able to get to their promised land. He wanted that. And yet he was going about it in his flesh and there was a point where he wasn't going about it at all. But you see, again, that was perfect preparation. Sometimes it takes the wilderness to get us to the point where we are at surrender to do the thing that is already on our heart. Because sometimes we'll run as far away from that as we can. I hope tonight all the running's done for all of you. I hope that you, my prayer is that you decide tonight, oh no, no more running. No more running. I want to tell you, you'll find more contentment. You'll find more provision. You're going to find lavish blessings that God will bestow upon you, because that is his plan for you. He has a good call. He has a good plan for you. a plan for hope and a future. His things for you are essential that you step up to that calling. You'll never be happy any other place, any other way. And can you do that with little children? Absolutely you can. They sleep, eventually. You know, the greatest things I ever did, my greatest qualifications come from actually watching my children. Watching them through the years. Going through the tough times with them. The times I didn't think we were going to ever get through them. The times where Harold and I plotted through our marriage. Those build the best content for the things I write. Don't ever, ever scrap that call for the backside of the desert. But anyway, we see Moses has a heart calling, and I just want to ask you tonight, what's burning on your heart? Each of us have different things. That is what makes writing so amazing. The things that burn on my heart may not very well burn on your heart. And the things that burn on your heart may not ever burn on my heart. There is room for all. And even I was listening earlier and we were sharing some of what some of you wanted to write about. Some of you may have very parallel interests similar to mine. But you see, each of us, God has birthed something that each of us can share. He's birthed a message. He's birthed a different way of sharing things. And there is room for all of us to step up to the call. So step up to the call. Oh, and I think another thing about Moses. I remember when he's at that burning bush and God is calling him. And I will never forget this point in the story because I so felt this. I so felt this. I remember whenever I knew that God was calling me into writing, and my first thing, and I mean, was, God, who, me? Who, me? Couldn't you use anybody else? You've got so many good speakers and writers out there. Can't you use anybody else? I mean, Lord, what do I know? And you know what? I don't know how many of you may be saying the same thing, but I just want you to know that God has an answer for you that's the same thing he told Moses. Right there in Exodus. Y'all got to go back and read Exodus. It's good. It is so good. It is so good. But he says to Moses something that is really, really interesting to me. He says, I am is with you. And when he's saying by I am, it means Jehovah. That means that is God saying, I am, or he's telling Cindy is with you, or I am, Jehovah is with you. That's Moses' strict qualification. That is Moses' ability to be able to do it. That is what he was supposed to be all about. You see, I want to tell you that many people think, oh, well, I haven't got a degree, or I haven't, I mean, we could just talk about all the things you think you don't have. And you may have a full list yourself. I don't have a degree. I don't have the money. I don't have, what is it that you don't have today? I don't have the confidence. I don't know that I have the nerve. I don't think I have the words to say. Let me tell you, I am is with you. Jehovah is with you. God can be and become everything you need. You may even be sitting there saying, I don't have a computer. Well, I think you have a computer tonight. Maybe you're borrowing one. But can I tell you that you may think you don't have even the resources to write, but God, as Jehovah, he wants to be Jehovah Jireh for you, the great provider, the God who will be and become your provision and your provider. He will give you everything you need. And so I want for you to look at the life of Moses when God is calling you to step up to the call, and I want for you to say, yes, I can do this because God is with me. I love in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, I remember one time, y'all would get a good laugh out of this, but I had one company that sold my books. It kind of cracked me up that they would sell my books, and they felt this way, but the owner of the place, and no names may be mentioned if any of you know this story and you know the details. Hey, Elaine, I don't know if you know that you're writing to me, darling. But anyway, you may want to clip that in for everybody else. But anyway, this one girl that has this little bookstore, little book company, and by the way, she's out of business now, but I just think that's important to tell you. But I'll never forget, we were having a late night discussion. I was on the road, and I stayed, I think it was with her that time. And if she wasn't great for the confidence levels, I don't know who is, but she told me afterwards that she felt like I needed to go to an English finishing school. Now, I would love to go to an English finishing school. I just want you to know that. But her reasons were, oh, your accent, it is so distracting. Your voice is so frustrating. She said, it's nice to read your writing, but when you speak, it really is distracting to everybody. I want to tell you, I went home about with my tail between my knee, my legs, and I believe there was a tail at that point. I sat there just grappling before the Lord going, whoa! I still had to speak to get on my way home. It was a hard trip home. I was paranoid. I was so saddened. And I remember going before the Lord saying, God, what do I do? I know I've got a pitifully southern accent. For heaven's sake, I grew up in Mississippi. You don't get any more southern than 90 miles from the coast living in Laurel, Mississippi. And yet, beloved, I just want for you to know that it was hilarious what God came about and did. I was right there reading through my Bible reading, and I was in Acts. Acts is the perfect Bible chapter if you're doubting your ability to have the power and anointing that you need. But as I was reading in Acts, and I was reading about how that God himself came and inhabited the disciples, and that they spoke like, get this, people that had been with God. I thought, God, that's the only thing I can claim is I've been with you. Lord, I will spend time with you if you'll just give me that power and that anointing. Just speak through me. Funny thing, God's done things even through the years when I have been sick. I didn't think I could carry on. Times where I was at my rock bottom, he did it in spite of me. Because you see, your greatest qualification is that God is with you. And Dawn, I'm kind of cracking up. You say my voice takes a little getting used to, but you think my accent is so cute. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The funny thing is, I think that about everybody. I can't always understand what everybody else says either. But you know, that's what makes us all so human and so normal. And that I believe from the bottom of our heart that we need to, as the body of Christ, glean from one another. We need to come together and we need to learn to network. We need to learn how to work together and grow together and let everybody be who they are. Their entire personality. And I just love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. How God is with us. It doesn't matter if we have a southern accent, if we have an Ohio accent or a New Zealand accent. He can use you. He can use you. So, step up to that call. And another thing I loved about this whole story, Moses is much like me in this passage. And what he continues to do is he's there at this burning bush. God is speaking, saying, I'm going to be with you. He then gives another objection he has. He's like, well, how will they know that you're with me? How can I do all this? And the Lord said something that just, oh, it gets me deep. It gets me deep, deep, deep inside my heart. He said, what's in your hand? And tonight I want to ask you, as a writer, what is in your hand? What do you know? What do you love? What is on your heart? What can you do? Where are you? Who are you? Because yes, I want to encourage you over the course of the next few lessons to be who you are and step up to that call. No one else can do what you've got to do. And you may have a million excuses. You may even have some negative, wonderful, poisonous people in your life that may say, oh, you haven't got what it takes. But beloved, I want for you to know, if you've got God, you've got exactly what it takes. You've got exactly what you need. And God can use you in a mighty way. You know, I just want to ask you, if one life were changed by you, would it be worth it? Would you step up today if you knew that one life would be changed? Because I want to also go one step further and tell you that I think it's virtually impossible for only one life to be changed by a writer. The writer's work goes on and on. It goes places into generations where we may have never been before, and where we may never go. I mean, my writing, do you realize it has gone to so many different places I have never dreamed of going. I get hits on my website from all over the world. We have been everywhere with my work and writing. My audios have gone everywhere you can imagine. And who would have figured it? You know, I have that southern accent. I grew up in Mississippi schools, wanting to be a dental hygienist. Yes, you can be a writer. Step up to that call. Another thing, my next point that I want to share with you is to know what you want. When you're looking at writing, this is so essential. This is one of those things where we have to get a little on the heart-to-heart thing. Because I want to talk shop with you a little bit because you've got to know what you want. Are you looking for a hobby? Just to be able to have a hobby, to just pour some things out. I think that is wonderful and there is a lot of room for that. Now, what I would suggest for the person that wants a hobby and they want to just pour their heart out and they want to help people, look at developing a blog. Blogging, to me, is so amazing. I love the power behind being able to pour out in a blog. So I really want to encourage you to look at blogging because there's something about blogging. You never know. Someone can surf over to your webpage and their whole life can be changed right there on that blog. Also, another thing you can do if you want a hobby of writing, the whole world is wide open. There are people like me. I do 2 e-zines a week, and we actually have a couple others that we do very sporadically. But we're always looking for good writing that we can use as articles or e-books that are freebie e-books. Don't you guys love getting free e-books and goodies whenever you register for a class? Well, we're always looking for that. And in fact, if you have any you want to share, hello, we got some wonderful events coming up, virtual events, and I would so appreciate some of you giving it your go. As a matter of fact, if you'll write, I'll tell you what it needs, if there's anything that's needed, and you get free coaching right there if you'll just help me out with that. I love that. And see, if you want to just do it as a hobby, you can do it as a hobby. But watch out. The next thing you can also do it for is a ministry. And, I mean, if you're looking for a ministry, I want to encourage you tonight that writing, oh my, to me, it's the best ministry in the world. Of course, it's the one I chose and said, yes, I will do this one, Lord. Of course, that's actually He chose me, but something like that. But the writing options are so abundant. The only thing I would suggest is if you want a ministry, there's one of those just wish I had known that you'll get to hear real quick right now. Know that you're going to have to learn business if you want to do ministry. Because in this day and time, you've got to know the business principles so that you can be able to be a glory to God in your ministry. It's not much, but yes, you can do it. Yes, you can write for a ministry. Know which one you want. The other thing is business. Oh, yeah. There. It amazes me the opportunities that are there for a writer to have a real, viable, profitable business. It amazes me. The opportunities are just so amazing to me because many of them cost very little to actually get started. You can get a blog and you can even produce ebooks right there from your laptop or your computer, and you can make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. How do I know that? Because I've done that. And so one thing that you got to do is know which one you want. Do you want a hobby? Do you want a ministry? Do you want a business? You've got to know which way you're going because it will help you to know which direction to go from there. So figure out which one you want. That's your homework that you'll need to do.